Hey, everybody. We're going to look now at Mark chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 35. And as Jesus taught in the temple, he said, "How can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, in the Holy Spirit, declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. So how is he his son?" And the great throng heard him gladly. And in his teaching, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." So remember, this comes in a long sequence of interactions that Jesus has had since he arrived at Jerusalem, since he pronounced a kind of a judgment on the temple and the temple system of worship and the leadership in the temple through his driving out of the money changers, and then his parable, his enacted parable of cursing the fig tree. And Jesus has just deflected challenge after challenge with great ease. Finally, a scribe came to him with a pretty sincere question, and Jesus answered his question, and this guy was really convicted or convinced by Jesus' response, and then Jesus says, "You're not far from the kingdom." That's precisely where we have these next teachings. So Jesus goes from easily deflecting attacks on him and challenges to who he is to actively challenging the teaching that prevails in and around the leadership in the Jewish temple. He's on the offensive now. He's been in the dock, and now he's putting the temple and its system and its leaders in the dock. And the first thing he does is have a discussion about the Messiah. And this really has to do with, remember before he said when speaking with the Sadducees that they didn't understand the scriptures or the power of God. Jesus is sort of further demonstrating that they don't understand the scriptures, and more particularly, that they don't understand what the Messiah was to be. For most Jews at the time, the Messiah would be a figure like David, maybe a repeat in some ways of David, somebody as good as David. So Jesus quotes Psalm 110, and he says, okay, whose son is the Messiah? Everybody says the Messiah will be a descendant of David. But David himself says this in Psalm 110. Now, Psalm 110 was incredibly popular, and it was incredibly important for determining or understanding what the Messiah would do. And there, David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, and I'm going to paraphrase this, "Yahweh," that is God, "says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." So the important phrase here is "my Lord." David calls the coming Messiah, whom God addresses, David calls him "my Lord." Jesus' point here is that if David, the great King David, calls the Messiah "my Lord," then the Messiah is going to be greater than David. David's not the measure of what the Messiah would be like. He's something beyond that. And again, this demonstrates, first of all, Jesus' just close reading of Scripture, careful reading of Scripture. But more than that, I think this underlines why throughout the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has refused the praise of the crowds, because he understood that they had a view of Messiah that only went so far as, let's say, David. And Jesus himself was coming to do, and the Messiah, he as the Messiah was coming to do far more, far greater, far deeper work than David. So David's not the standard, even though David gave us a little glimpse, the Messiah would be far greater than David. So Jesus, it says here that the crowds were delighted, right? That Jesus was opening up the scriptures to them, and they were just elated to have good, solid Bible teaching, which again should be a big indictment of the leadership in the temple, whose job, among other things, was to teach the scriptures. So then Jesus transitions. It's as if to say, the crowds are saying, "Wow, this teaching is so great. It's not like the stuff the scribes give us." And Jesus says, "Well, let me talk to you for a minute about the scribes." And Jesus now goes, as it were, on attack to criticize the scribes. Now remember, He has just had an interaction with the scribe who had an honest, sincere question, and Jesus gave him a good, solid answer and told the man, you're not far from the kingdom of God. So Jesus isn't wholesale, or he's not wholesale dismissing all scribes, but he is dismissing what he sees as a prevalent behavior among the scribes. Now remember, the scribes were something like a combination of lawyer, pastor, and ethicist. They were experts on the Torah and experts on all the commentary on the Torah, and all they did pretty much in life was study and teach people not just how to do morality, but how to do everything, how to do ritual purity, and that got down into every crevice and detail of life. And so Jesus is addressing them, and he says, listen, you got to beware of these guys. Especially, Jesus says, the ones who in their conduct make it clear that they are just kind of loving the life of having a reputation of learning and respect from people. Jesus says, you need to avoid these guys like the plague. They are out for their own reputation. They're out to impress people. What they care about is the praise of people and not the praise of God. And therefore, it's as if Jesus is saying, you can't trust their teaching. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says we should have our treasure in heaven. He says we should do all of our religious activity not to please or impress or earn respect from people, but to please God. And Jesus is saying many, many of the scribes don't do that. They go around looking for people's praise. They, as it turns out, don't fulfill the law, right? He says they devour widows' houses. That's a very common refrain in the prophets, that much of the law in the Old Testament was aimed at the powerful so that they would use their power for the sake of flourishing of those who didn't have power. And Jesus is saying, not only do these guys not do that, but they go the opposite direction and devour widows' houses. Which is interesting, because in the next section, we're going to see a widow and Jesus is going to praise her. So there's an interaction with that there. They parade for people. They don't fulfill the law. And basically, their faith and their religion is pretend. Their prayers are a performance for people, not an honest pouring out of the heart to God. So again, just a reminder that this whole section is about Jesus coming as the Lord of the temple, as the master of the temple, as the son of the vineyard owner, to get what he deserves from the vineyard, and he's not getting what he deserves. And so he's laying out his case against the temple and its leadership. And again, he's going to very quickly, very shortly, pronounce coming judgment on this house, because he is the one who's come to fulfill the temple. He is the temple. He is the one who would be the Messiah. He is the one who would in his person fulfill the law and lead his people in fulfilling the law. So may we come to acknowledge the greater David, the one who through his death and his resurrection has accomplished deliverance for all people and is seated at the right hand of God, one day to return to judge the living and the dead. Amen.